Welcome to Always Hold On to Smallville. In this podcast, we talk about each and every episode of the Young Superman show that ran from 2001 to 2011 on the WB and the CW. I'm your host, Zach Moore, and I'm joined again this week by Nancy Petru. What's up, Nancy?
Hey, thanks for having me on again, Zach. I'm doing all right. How about you?
I'm doing great. So, what I gave you here, Nancy, was the Home Improvement 2-pack, as I call it, from this season. So Nancy's going to be on this episode. We're talking about Dichotic this week. Of course, the episode with Jonathan Taylor Thomas. So he's in this episode. And then later on this season, Zachary Ty Bryan is in another episode of Smallville Witness. So Nancy's going to be on those two episodes this season. I thought it's fun to give you the Home Improvement 2-pack. So you a big Home Improvement fan back in the day.
Oh, I was. Yeah, big time. Although my husband and I recently, I want to say in 2014, I think they were all on YouTube, or most of the episodes were on YouTube, and we both had fond memories of it. But upon rewatch, you know, just because of that period of time, it's very sexist and reductive. It was still funny, you know.
Well, it doesn't seem like it would age well, does it?
No, there are quite a few things that don't age well. I mean, the classic, like, sitcom-y family humor, that's, you know, that's timeless. So that was funny. But yeah, no, like this whole being jealous of Jill going back to work and not having enough time for me.
Well, that ties into this episode, doesn't it?
I know. Funny that you should bring that up.
Sadly, yeah. Smallville never got Taryn Noah Smith on the show.
Oh, come on.
Did not complete the 3-pack of Home Improvement Kids. What is it with the Home Improvement Kids? Why do they all have to have 3 names? Because Jonathan Taylor Thomas, Zachary Ty Bryan, Taryn Noah Smith. It's like,
I think it was just trendy then, right? Like, I don't know.
I guess so, but anyway.
Well, they have 3 names, but you don't normally go by 3 names unless, like, your name is really cool,
well,
right?
Well, okay. Showbiz. Taryn Noah Smith. I don't think there's any other Taryn Smiths out there. Zachary spells his name with an E-R-Y, which is incorrect.
Ew, really? I don't think I've ever noticed that in all the opening credits of Home Improvement I've watched.
I give him credit for the H, though. Okay, because a lot of people spell it Z-A-C-K, which is also incorrect. So he gets half credit. So when he shortens his name to Zach, at least it's spelled correctly. And then, of course, Jonathan
half credit. Okay.
and then Jonathan Taylor Thomas. I can imagine there's a lot of John Thomases out there. So
yeah, that's a good
so it makes sense. But it's such teeny bopper names they all have, don't they?
Oh, they were all in Tiger Beat, I'm sure. Well, I don't know about Taryn. He probably wasn't into Tiger Beat.
Home Improvement, though, it's, I guess, yeah. I remember it fondly just always being there. Because this show ran from 1991 to 1999. So it was really the sitcom of the 90s.
Absolutely.
But yeah, I do have my concerns about ever revisiting it one day.
Just live in your memories. I mean, there are plenty of episodes that were good, but, you know, don't waste your time. You can watch something else.
So that's that as far as Jonathan Taylor Thomas goes. He's the big draw of this episode. So nice that they used him twice in this episode.
How did you write that? I feel like you planned that.
No, actually, that just came off the top of my head. Much better than all the, I wish there were 2 of me in... How many lines like that were there in this episode? Every time I was like, ugh,
I know, right?
So on the nose. But, you know, originally the concept for this episode was very different.
Really?
Of course, as most of my trivia does, this comes from Smallville, the official companion season 2 by Paul Simpson, available wherever books are sold. Ken Biller had this to say about this episode. He says, Dichotic had an interesting genesis. The idea came up about doing a crypto villain who could split himself in half. Mark Verheiden and I did a whole story about a guy who was a reporter for a television station, and he used his powers to split himself so he could both create a news story and tape it at the same time. The original teaser was that he shoved somebody out a window, and you saw the body plummet, and at the same time saw the same guy videotaping it and getting a scoop. He'd come to Smallville to get a story, the assassination of Lex Luthor. He'd kill him and tape it at the same time. But we decided to make it more high school based. It became a metaphor on trying to superachieve at high school. And that sounds like such a better episode, doesn't it, Nancy?
Yeah. I mean, you always go for the high school angle, right? Because that's really the pinnacle of good TV. High school drama.
Well, I wonder, like, when they got Jonathan Taylor Thomas. I feel like that it's like, hey, Jonathan Taylor Thomas is available. We can slide it. We have... he's available like this month, so we need to make an episode focused around him, and maybe that was a contributing factor. Because yes. I feel like some of the strongest episodes from season one were ones that delved into the more adult world of Metropolis. Although I do love the high school stuff, obviously. I mean, Clark Kent in high school, it's a great conceit when they do it right. Sometimes right. they do it wrong. We'll, through our conversation here, we'll decide where this episode falls. But just on first glance, yeah. I think that sounds like a much more interesting episode. And in fact, they could have used it later on. I mean, the show ran 8 more years. You know,
They went back. Tucked that one away.
They went back to the well many times on ideas, and that sounds like a legitimate one. So Smallville has one word episode titles, and you know it's a struggle to find a one word that kind of sums up the whole episode. So as the series progresses, a lot of episode titles just kind of blur together and really are interchangeable, and then sometimes they get very creative words like this week, dichotic. So to me, I think dichotic. I think Jonathan Taylor Thomas splitting into two, spoilers.
Right.
I think like, oh, that, dividing something. I always thought it was like division of some kind, But right. I looked it up, and according to Merriam-Webster, here's the definition for dichotic. Relating to or involving the presentation of a stimulus to one ear that differs in some respect from a stimulus presented to the other ear. So that doesn't fit with this at all, but that's fine.
I mean, unless they were talking about the way that he would play the two girls like off each other.
Oh, look at that. Look at that coming through, Nancy. Well done.
Possibly. I don't know. I'm reaching.
That. Yeah, we'll go with that. Yeah. So, I mean, you could do, schism, split, double. Yeah. I don't know. There's so many options.
Well, maybe they picked this one because the thesaurus was like, hey, this is a word that means kind of what you want. And they're like, ooh, fancy.
Yeah. I mean, it's easy one to remember, and a hard one to spell. Whenever we come across these interesting words for titles, I'm gonna look them up like that to see what their real definition is and to see how they apply to the episode. So, well, that's our little preamble there. Let's go ahead and get into our discussion on dichotic.
Ian, we need to talk.
Later, Clark. I'm busy.
Now, it's about Chloe and Lana. I know you're playing them off each other.
Must have learned from the master.
What does that mean?
Well, Chloe told me how you dumped her a day after spring formal. And Lana said you send off so many mixed signals you could scramble a radar. Maybe they'd rather be with the guy who's going someplace. After I get my scholarship, I'm out of this hick town.
So you don't care about them at all, do you? You're using them to get your scholarship. Chloe writes you the big article and Lana gives you the fast track to Lex.
I never said that. Why don't you just admit it? The two girls who used to like you now like me, and you're jealous.
Dichotic is the 9th episode of Smallville's 2nd season and aired on November 19th, 2002. It was written by Mark Verheiden and directed by Craig Zisk.
All right, so my first thought was, they still have shop class?
Exactly. Talking about, we were just talking about Home Improvement. I feel like whenever I watch TV shows or movies in the 90s, like Pete and Pete, you remember Pete and Pete? Right?
Yes.
So they had a shop class. So I remember when you see these kids at school and they're in shop class, and I'm younger in the 90s. So I'm like, oh man, when I get older,
yeah,
and go to high school, I'm gonna have a shop class. That'll be cool. And we didn't have a shop class. Now,
and then it didn't happen.
As I understand it, Nancy, because Nancy and I went to the same high school. As I understand it, we had that, what was it called, the tech center?
Yes.
Like behind, like way back.
But I thought that was like auto tech. Like it wasn't shop, was it?
Yeah, like because I think, I don't know what why we went over there, but I think one class we had, we like went over there for a tour to like show you extracurriculars or something. I don't know. But there was like a hair salon in there.
Know
what I'm talking about? Yeah,
really?
for training for that stuff. At least that's what I remember. This was
I never
years
went
ago,
in there,
guys.
So this is like new knowledge to me. Wow. Okay.
And I don't know. You're right. It seemed like an auto repair like a garage or something.
Yeah.
But I guess I kind of assumed, if we do have a shop class at this school, it must be back there. But I don't know if we did. I guess I always think about Pete and Pete because didn't the shop teacher have like a robotic arm or something? Or a hand. Do you know what I'm talking about?
At our high school?
No, not our high school. Pete and Pete.
Wait a minute.
Because Pete and Pete have all these, they have these weird characters like the ice cream man with the mask.
Actually, Oh yeah, I think you're right, actually.
Yeah, I
Gosh, I
haven't.
had to dredge up those memories.
That's another
Ooh.
show that I worry about revisiting because it's like, man, I really loved that show when I was a kid, but if I watch it again now, probably wouldn't hold up because I unfortunately a few years ago, this is I was probably like in college and I saw like Are You Afraid of the Dark was on TV. I was like,
Oh
oh man, I
gosh.
haven't seen this in years. Let me check this out. Does not hold up. Don't do it. Don't do
Which is
it.
funny considering that like that show scared the crap out of me
Well,
when
the
I was
intro
younger.
still holds up, with like the
Okay.
leprechaun and like
But that's it
the empty
after that.
boat, and it's like, oh man, it really creates a great ambiance, then it's all downhill from there. But anyway, shop class, right? No,
Shop
I was very
class, that
disappointed.
exists.
I would have made the Superman S in shop class. It would have been great. So yeah, we see Clark has fashioned a Superman S, which is straight up the S from the comic books.
Yeah, it is. And I know that.
On the nose, yes, but here's my thing. At this early stage of Smallville, the Kryptonian S, like the House of El and all that's gotten
Yep.
all very confused. Every different interpretation of Superman has a different like explanation for that. But right now in Smallville, before Superman Returns came along, it screwed everything up for him. And we'll get into that down the road in our podcast. The House of El was the eight with the Pentagon around it. So like the Superman Pentagon, but
Yeah.
an eight instead of an S. And that's the Kryptonian language. That's the letter S and all that. And that's in the comic books. And that's in Smallville for the first 4 seasons. And then Superman Returns comes along, and the movie department says, "No, everything must be the same, and you must use the Superman Returns S, and you must use crystals and the Fortress of Solitude." Even though Smallville is trying to establish its own mythology here, so I say all that to say,
Oh.
I liked how in Smallville's original conception, he was just going to take all these little pieces of things he'd encountered throughout his life to create Superman himself, right? Like he was going to take he made this S,
Aw,
and
that's
then
such a good
he
idea.
was going to put it in the Kryptonian eight.
Yeah.
The House of El sign to kind of symbolize how like he's honoring his Kryptonian life and he's honoring his Earth life. And then also he was just gonna take inspiration from like the Smallville mascot has like a cape, stuff like that. Warrior Angel,
Right.
the comic book, like that's cool. You can see where all the pieces come together. And then of course at the end of the day we get here, wear this S and here's a costume, put it on. It's like, oh, okay. Not as interesting as seeing someone assemble the costume, so to speak. So
Aw.
we're getting a lot of material out of the first 5 seconds of the episode
Well, I
here.
didn't even know that. I recognized the S, but I
Yeah.
didn't know that later on in the show, like there were some issues with them establishing their own mythology. That sucks.
The
Ugh.
shop teacher is not impressed by the S, which is like, are you kidding me? That's incredible for a
It
high
looks
school
super
student.
good for a high school shop. I mean,
Super
compared to
good.
Pete's like rickety candlestick, it was just kind of, okay.
Yeah, Pete made a candlestick. And then, of course, we get introduced to Ian, played by, as mentioned, Jonathan Taylor Thomas, best known for Home Improvement. I guess the only other thing I really know him for, like, he was in all these random movies when he was like a teen heartthrob in
Yeah,
the late
like Man of
90s.
the House, I think, and
I'll Be Home for Christmas.
Jungle to Jungle.
No. Jungle to Jungle was Tim
Was that
Allen.
him?
That was
Oh,
just
that
Tim
was Tim
Allen.
Allen. I'm just getting it all confused. It's like the Home Improvement vortex. You know what I mean?
Exactly. And then I
Yeah.
don't really. Oh, and of course, he was the voice of young Simba from The Lion King. How can we
Oh, of
forget?
course. Oh, no one could ever forget.
So, and then, he hasn't. I really haven't seen him in a while. I
He
don't
hasn't
know
really
what he's
done
been doing.
anything, has he?
According to his IMDb, he seems to
Oh.
be a recurring character on Last Man Standing, which is a show that I. With. Oh, boy. That's Tim Allen's show. That's his comedy that he has
Oh
going on now.
boy.
So Tim Allen
Lel.
helping his friend out there with some work.
Helping
So
his TV son
yeah.
out. Oh my
That's why I
goodness.
thought that sounded familiar and I clicked on it and what do I see? A picture of Tim Allen. So
Sure enough.
it all comes
Oh,
together.
JTT.
Oh
He
man.
adorned many a teen girl's wall, and now he's, whatever.
So he's an overachiever,
Of
right?
course he is.
Loading up on night classes and extracurriculars, which is ridiculous, by the way, because you don't
Yeah,
take
in high
night classes in
school.
high school, and extracurriculars are required. They're not like you have to
Yeah.
take a certain amount. So it's not like college where you can take summer school for 2 years and graduate. Because
Right.
Ian's plan here is apparently, as he tells Chloe later in the episode, he's going to graduate at the end of this year. He's driven to keep his 4.0 GPA so he can get the Luther Foundation scholarship.
So at first, I have to admit, I thought that this character was going to be deeper than he turned out to be. Because I was thinking to myself, okay, 4.0. My immediate reaction was, oh, thank God I wasn't that person because I couldn't handle that. But then I thought, oh, maybe like there's a reason that he, you know, murdered his shop teacher in cold blood over a C. There really wasn't. Spoiler.
Well, clearly, Nancy, you've not watched enough Smallville. You...
Okay, but I have a sidebar. Is anyone concerned, and I feel like we mentioned this the last time I was on, about the number of dead teachers that keep turning up at this school?
Exactly. So that's why I have a counter, Nancy.
Okay.
I guess just to get to that, Ian gets, well, the shop teacher, as unimpressed as he is with Clark's amazing S, he's equally unimpressed with Ian's half-assed letter opener, which is like, yeah. Like that is like, what are your standards, sir? When Pete got an A plus for his candlestick, Clark gets a C plus for his S, and Ian gets a C for a letter opener. I feel like I've never taken a shop class in my life. I feel like I could make a letter opener right now because it's just like a sharp piece of wooden metal,
right?
Well, see, the thing is, though, no one's supposed to know these grades, right? Because the teacher's like, Mr. Frankel is his name. I know it because they say it so many times in this episode. Oh, Mr. Frankel. He's like, grades will be posted on Thursday. And Pete kind of convinces Clark to x-ray through the teacher's binder to see the grades, which I'm not sure if x-rays work that way, but whatever, it's fine. So Clark sees down the list, he sees the grades, and he sees that Ian made a C. So he's like, oh, that's not going to be good for his 4.0 GPA.
Ruh-roh.
And we're going to get into what day it is here, because apparently...
Oh, look, I love this. I love this conversation. This I always love when we talk about the days.
This is one of the most egregious situations I've seen so far in the show, now that I've been paying attention. So everybody leaves. It looks like it's the end of school that day, right? Everybody leaves. And then, you know, we cut to it's dark. It's night, right? And of course, what do teachers do when school's over? Just stay in their classroom and just do some work. You know, Mr. Franklin, he's just doing some shop work.
Yeah, he doesn't have a real life outside of school. Of course not.
Teachers just exist at school.
Right. They live underneath the floor of their classrooms. I mean, duh.
Ian shows up and he's like, I really need an A in this class.
But like in that creepy, like oppressive way that you know leads to death in TV shows. Just like, uh-oh. He's like all up in this guy's Mr. Frankel's face.
What a teacher name too, Mr. Frankel.
Mr. Frankel. I mean, they're just reaching. I feel like they have a name generator. They just wrote down a bunch of stuff and they just pick one every week from the jar, right?
But two things about how he kills him here. One, okay, so he turns off the lights or whatever, which is excessive. And then somebody pressed play on a boombox. I don't understand.
You need murder in music, Zach. Well, you need it.
Is it to like to cover up the fact that he's murdering him? I guess to make.
I guess.
I just. But,
okay, we'll return to that in a second because I don't really understand how he murdered him.
So
considering
that's the first thing. The second thing is he uses the letter opener to kill him.
Well, that's right. I must have been looking at my mug at that particular moment.
And I was like, they don't really draw a lot of attention to it, so it's kind of subtle. But I'm like, that's genius.
Even better.
That's genius.
Yeah.
And then, of course, every single act break of this episode has some kind of Jonathan Taylor Thomas one-liner. Like, every single one. Because here, he kills the teacher and he says, I'm sorry, I just can't accept a C.
So good. That makes it so much better. All right, I give that a pass because I must have been taking a drink of my coffee or something right as he was stabbing him.
Okay, well, that, to your point, Nancy, earlier, that is our plus one to our Smallville faculty and staff deaths.
How many people are dead so far? Do we have a tally?
You're going to have to – we do have a tally. And you're
right. It's at the end.
You're going to have to stay tuned, Nancy, to the end of the episode. So stay tuned.
Okay.
don't turn us off just yet.
Don't worry.
So we come back from the opening credits. You know, an in-joke I've noticed, and I remember this watching the show in first run, but I'm noticing it more now that I'm, like, literally taking notes as I watch the show. There's always a lot of in-jokes on the Talon bulletin board. So you see they had the two-for-one special this week, which I was like, all right, well done, set director. Lex comes out of the Talon, and he's wearing these driving glasses or sunglasses he's been wearing all season two. And it's just so weird because this is the only stretch of episodes that he has these. And it just sticks out to me. Is like, I don't know. It's just odd to see Lex Luthor in glasses, maybe. But maybe because Clark Kent wears glasses. I don't know what it is. It's just weird to see him in these. And he's running late. And there's this meter maid giving him a ticket. And he has no time for it.
Of course he doesn't. Rich people are always in a hurry.
Well, this guy, look, I mean, he's... the meter maid, those kind of guys get off on that, right? Like, that's their only little...
Sure, it's the only amount of power they have in their sad, pathetic lives. So, it, yeah, well, I can see that.
Man, well, I didn't want to just disrespect them all, Nancy, but yeah.
Hey, there are better meter maids, okay? Like, if you want a better meter maid who is awesome, you can just look to Roxy in Dead Like Me, who's perfect. If you've never seen that, check that out.
There you go. Wasn't that Brian Fuller?
Yes.
Nice. I get Dead Like Me and 6 Feet Under confused.
Yeah, Dead Like Me came first.
Okay. Well, I mean, it's very... I see you have strong opinions about that.
Yeah.
So Lex is running late for, you know, something. Mm-hmm. He's on the phone, and maybe he shouldn't have stopped for coffee at the Talon, just a thought. But he has these golf clubs in the back of his car because he's on his way to, like, a charity event, right?
Right.
And the meter maid is just giving him attitude. Look, the meter maid is in the right. Lex did illegally park, and he's used to breaking the rules. But still, this is, you know, you don't screw with Lex Luthor this way. Because the meter maid goes back to his little car after being a smart ass. And then Lex, you can see the wheels turning because Lex looks at his golf clubs. He pulls out a 9-iron and just destroys this guy's car. And it is epic.
And you can tell it's that dude's, like, actual car. That's not, like, a county...
Yeah, it's not a cop car. No.
It's not a county car. I felt a little bad for him then. Oh, I was he's driving his beater around to his job. That's so sad.
Well, you know, it's hilarious because it's like, yeah, man, I wish we could do that. We all wish we could do that, right?
Oh, my God. Yeah, to give in to the impulse to ruin somebody's property. Yes.
But at the same time, it does show you how, like, unhinged Lex Luthor can be, right? Something so small like that, and he's, like, just snapped. I'm like, wow, that's pretty exciting because Lex
really
is usually in control.
That. It was surprising. Yeah, yeah, he seems very calculating. Like, he thinks before he moves. not here.
No, not at all. So so then we cut to Clark helping Lana move in with Chloe because in our developments in recent episodes, Lana's Aunt Nell has moved to Metropolis with her fiancé. Chloe and her father have offered that Lana can move in with them in order for her to stay in Smallville and finish school and all that good stuff. And nothing bad can happen from this situation, right?
Right. Nah.
I mean,
nothing bad will happen.
This will kick the Clark, Lana, Chloe love triangle into overdrive, basically, to have them be roommates.
Oh.
So,
oh, Lord.
So, you know, there's really not much to this scene, just Clark helping them move in. And then he's like, hey, let's go out and celebrate. And they're like, no, we have stuff to do. And he's like, oh, okay. And that's all there is to that scene.
Okay, yeah.
but you know what Clark should have done? As he should have gone home to help his dad, because we see Jonathan trying to fix some tractor, and it falls on his leg, and it breaks his leg. Clark comes home, and he hears Jonathan say, Clark, and Clark x-rays his leg and sees that it's broken. He's like, oh, it's broken. Hold on, and he moves the tractor, and he gets him, Jonathan, out from under there.
Yeah.
And then we just cut back to, like, Chloe at the torch. I'm like, whoa. This scene happened much too quickly, much too seriousness, much too urgency. I know it's a serious thing. I've never broken anything. So,
same.
So if I had, I probably would have more empathy in the situation.
No, it was fast. I thought so too. I'm like, oh, well, that doesn't really matter. We didn't spend a lot of time on it.
It's like, oh, the next thing. But more than anything else about this, Nancy, is when Jonathan's, like, struggling and to free his leg and the tractor's on top of him and they start playing, like, the dramatic music, you know, like, the escalating music. I just couldn't help but laugh. It's like, this is not this serious, guys. This is usually something you, like, when someone's about to kill Lana and Clark has to, like, race to stop them, right?
Yeah, that, like,
that's
later the in
the music.
Episode.
Yeah, that's the music they use, not like, oh, no, this farm equipment has trapped me on the ground.
Oh, no. Yeah.
So oh man, so this is when I really start to get confused about what day it is, right? Apparently school is ended. Lana has moved into Chloe in her dad's house.
Yeah,
but now we are back at the torch with Chloe, and she meets up with Ian, and Ian is there. I think this is just an excuse, you know, because, you know, word to the wise, guys often use silly excuses to talk to girls this way. So,
no.
I know it's shocking, Nancy, but...
it really is.
Ian used some excuse like, oh, yeah, I'm looking for some reference books, and it looks like they're all here at the Torch. And Chloe's like, yeah, I've been researching them for articles. I haven't had enough time to take them back. Some days I wish that there were two of me. It's like, oh,
Oh my God. No. Yeah, I rolled at that.
That is one of many instances of that kind of dialogue. But, you know, they talk here, and this is when he tells her his grand plan of graduating by the end of this year and all these night classes and extra credit he's been taking. And this intrigues Chloe, and she's like, oh, well, hey, how about an interview? And so they're going to go have an interview.
Is this the power of cute boys? Because at 16, I was daydreaming about, like, Aragorn and not anybody I actually knew in person. So I feel like I'm probably not the best person. Like, I would have seen through that immediately. I just did not have time for boys at that age.
Well, remember, okay, so you and I did Crush. That was your last episode. And so remember we were talking about how Chloe and Justin in that episode, like, they had a pre-established, at least, friendship or knew each other. Like, oh, okay, you've been gone, now you're back. We're kind of like rekindling something, but we have a base to kind of build off of.
Yeah, there's nothing for that here.
There's nothing here. Like, this is what I'm talking about. Like, this guy, like, Ian is just this super overachiever who we've never seen or heard of before, and he's here in this episode, and then he's gone, although he does come back later on next season. But it's like, really, there you go. Jonathan Taylor Thomas, they just love him so much. We'll get to that at the end, though. Originally, let's just get it out right now. He was supposed to die at the end of this episode, this character. But they decided to kind of edit around that and left it extremely vague.
Yeah, no kidding.
And they brought him back. They brought him back the next season. There's actually a deleted scene about that, but we'll get to it at the end. Yeah, so these one-and-done characters, although he does come back, as far as Smallville High School is concerned, he's one and done. And that's just, it hurts the realism of the world. These people just come out of nowhere. Like, oh, yeah, this guy. I mean, TV has changed, right? But even like a comedy, like Community, like you saw the same auxiliary characters all the time.
Yeah, but
world
like...
World building people.
We can't compare somebody like Magnitude to like JTT's character, okay?
Pop.
That's it. Like... I think the key to that, I don't know. There are a lot of different, we could get in. That's a different conversation. Never mind. I don't want to get us off topic. Okay, so he agrees to the interview.
Yes, he agrees to the interview. And, you know, then we cut to the hospital and we meet Dr. Helen Bryce. More on her in a bit, though. But Jonathan is there. This is a plus one to our hospital visit because he's there. He's got a full leg cast. And Martha comes in. She'd been working because she has her job at Luther Corp. So that's where she had been. And see, here's the deal. She feels guilty here because she was supposed to be at the farm helping Jonathan. Are these not Clark's responsibilities? Like, when has Martha ever helped Jonathan fix the tractor?
Yeah,
right?
I was about to say, like, that does not sound like a... Mm-mm.
Like, Clark is someone in his character is he blames himself for things that aren't necessarily his fault, right? He feels like he has all these powers and he should be able to solve any problem or be there when anyone needs him. And that's, you know, that's the cross to bear when you're Superman, right?
Right.
And people complain it's kind of mopey and there is a balance to be had there, but he just feels responsible for a lot of things. And if anything, Clark should have felt bad because he was like, oh, I was trying to hang out with Chloe and Lana and I should have been here, you know, helping you, Dad.
Helping Dad, because I know that Mom's at work.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah.
But, okay, so let's keep track here. He's broken his leg. He's at the hospital. He's in a cast. You know, so I'm thinking this is over the course of 2 or 3 days at this point. So, and I'm like thinking to myself, no one has mentioned the dead teacher yet? This is weird.
So
just keep that in the back of your mind before you find out what day it actually is, right?
Like, did this happen on a Friday and then there was the weekend?
Well, no, can't, Nancy, because... Remember, the grades will be posted on Thursday.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, boy. All right. Well, that's a hole.
Anyway, you know, Lex shows up at the hospital. And, man, I really wish now I had started a counter for this because he says he's going to fly out some specialists from Metropolis. He says
this all the time.
He meets Dr. Bryce. And she kind of takes offense to it, kind of, because... What he's implying is, yeah, I just want to get the best care possible. Like, just to say that
you guys won't provide it because you're a woman. I bristled. No, I'm glad that she was frosty and did not take that.
I don't think that was because she was a woman. Okay, I think it was because it was a small town.
Okay, if you were a woman, you would read it the way I did. I think. Female listeners, back me up on that one.
There you go. Well, no, Nancy, look. I would not have made... See, I didn't even think about that. You're right. He's a Metropolis guy in a Smallville world. He's like, yeah, these small-town doctors don't know what they're doing. But
to be fair, it probably was what you're saying. But, I mean, he also could have... that's not really Lex's game, though. He doesn't really objectify women that much, does he? I don't really know. But that was my first thought. So I was like, oh, of course, she's a small town doctor and she's a woman. What could she possibly know?
Okay, no, that's fair. I had not seen that point of view before, but hey, that's why I like having these different points of view on the podcast there.
Indeed. I like her though. I still like Lex. I like his, Lex is great. He's probably my favorite character, just as an aside.
Oh, well, he's everybody's favorite character. He's the best part of the entire series for sure.
He is. Okay. But she tells him his help is not necessary. Right?
Right. And then, you know, they part ways there. And I thought to myself, is this a meet cute? Is that what this is? Like,
okay, right? And then it was.
Yeah.
So
Clark comes up here after Lex and Helen Bryce have their conversation, and they have a little back and forth, and, you know, Clark's telling Lex that Martha feels guilty, and Lex says, oh, she's has a lot of responsibility now, and, you know, just trying to tie in the thing with, like, too much responsibility and too much to do and not enough time. Like, I at least appreciate they were trying for some theme here. I don't think they quite executed it well, but at least they had a theme in mind for this episode, right?
Yes, agreed.
But, you know, then Clark jokes to Lex, like, well, at least she didn't take a 9-iron to a meter maid's car. So they have a nice laugh about that. So Lex is like, oh, you heard about that? And Clark says, the town is called Smallville. And it's like, oh, I'm sure. That is such a line that I know people have said so many times on this show. And it's like such a cliche thing to say. Town is called Smallville. It's like, yeah, we get it. We get it. Okay. But then they go their separate ways, and we cut to the town, and Chloe and Ian are having their interview. The interview that which quickly turns into a proto date, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Surely Chloe's not that dumb. Well, actually, I guess kind of she is. That's how they write her, which is offensive. But anyway, what does he say? He decides to, oh no, yeah, the date starts to finish up, and she says she's got to get going or whatever, right? And she invites him to come along with her to her torch business.
Yeah, he's like, oh yeah, I can tag along. And, you know, it's like, it's a very awkward, like,
I'm inviting myself along. You don't get a chance to tell me no, because social niceties dictate that you can't do that if I've asked nicely.
But you can tell that Chloe's into him. You know, she finds him fascinating, finds him impressive.
Unfortunately,
you know.
Yes.
And then, you know, Clark comes in and sees this, and he sees that, you know, Chloe is packing things up, and they're like gonna go get the car together and go off together, and he's like, oh, this is interesting.
Right.
But then, you know, Chloe goes to, like, get the car or whatever, and Ian is still in there. You know, it's one of those awkward moments where, like, you're in a room with somebody, you have nothing to say to them, so you just go to the first thing you can think of. So Clark mentions, like, hey, Franco was pretty hard on you today, huh? And it's like, whoa, okay, everybody stop. Today, that was the same day? Like, you're telling me all these things have happened in one day, like a Tuesday or something? Like,
oh my God.
That just blew my mind. I was like,
oh my gosh, I don't think I caught that.
Yeah, I was like,
day? My God, how long is this day? When were they actually at school? This is such a good point.
Because
wow. Okay.
Well, the time. Look, if you really, I to be fair to the show, if you really examine the timeline, it could work because the shop class is over, school day ends, right?
Yeah.
Ian kills the teacher. Although the thing that really threw me off was Ian killing Mr. Frankel looked like it was like at 9 o'clock at night, right?
Yeah.
But apparently it was
really
like
did.
It was at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Apparently.
So when did? Okay.
Because Chloe and Lana, that they moved after school that Tuesday because, you know, when else would you move other than the Tuesday afternoon? Okay. And then Lana went to go work her shift at the Talon. Chloe went back to school to, like, work on the torch because, okay, that makes sense. You know, you got to go to your office for those kinds of things. But while all this is happening, Jonathan is doing farm stuff and then goes to the hospital. And I don't know how long it takes him to get a cast on someone. You know, I don't know.
It takes longer than like 30 minutes.
So,
is there literally nobody at the hospital? Because it looked kind of busy.
Nancy, the town is called Smallville.
Oh, God. I fell right into that.
thank you for setting me up for that.
Oh, man.
So if you really, really, really look at the timeline, I guess it could work. But they shot the scene with him killing the teacher all wrong. Because that implies it's like late that night, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, that's what really threw me off. So today we've had this. So this is day one, everyone. This is day one of this episode.
Yeah. Oh my God. Okay. All right.
Out of anything else on this doing this podcast, this has really been my favorite part, breaking down like the actual schedules of the days of what takes place. But to my point there, Clark is just thinking of something to mention to Ian. He's like, so yeah, Frankel is pretty tough on you today. And Ian's like, yeah, you know, I talked to him after class and, you know, turns out I got an A after all. And Clark's like, you know, this is a red flag mentally because he saw the grades.
Right, right, exactly.
So, you know. And hey, to be fair about all that timeline stuff, I was going to seriously start complaining that no one had discovered the dead teacher yet, but hey, it's only been like an hour since that happened, apparently. So
wow. Okay. So they just stopped in the middle of the day to go. Okay. All right, I'm not going to question
this,
it anymore.
The more Smallville episodes you watch, the less shocking this will be to you, Nancy. But anyway, because Clark's dad has a broken leg now, he's come to the Talon to tell Lana that they were going to have a math session together, a study session, I guess. And he's had to cancel because he's going to help take care of his dad, which is completely understandable, you know. And Lana's right. Cool about it. But Ian is, like, right there. And he's like, oh, hey, you having some trouble with this? Oh, I can help you out. Yeah. You know, he kind of slyly goes in there. And Lana's like, yeah, sure, that sounds great. And Clark finds this odd. He doesn't say anything. We can tell that Clark finds this odd because Ian had just agreed to go off with Chloe on, you know, what was appeared to be some kind of date tag-along thing.
Right.
And yet he's offering to help Lana right now. Because he's like, oh, when would be good? Right now's great. And so that they're going to do that. And then Ian goes, I guess, like in the back room of the Talon. Well, he just takes all his clothes off.
Okay.
And splits into two.
For a second there, I forgot what the Talon used to be. I was just like, all right, now JTT is disrobing in a costume closet. And pushing a duplicate of himself out of his back. Great CG.
I did. Okay, the shadow thing was cool. I thought that was clever.
I liked that. They should have just kept it that and never showed anything else.
Yeah, because
I thought that would have been a little bit better.
It's, again, early 2000s, they think they can do more with CGI than they actually can. So,
I know, right?
yeah, basically, there's two things you see. You see like, a CGI face and arms, like, coming out of JTT's back.
Yeah.
And then you see a silhouette, like, of shadows of the two splitting apart. And you're absolutely right. Had this show been made 10 years earlier, they would have had to stick to the shadows, and that would have been much more effective.
Yes, although I have to say, even if this wasn't Smallville and I couldn't tell where it was going, I'd have to say that, you know, you can always predict that it will end poorly, because hanging around with two women at the same time always ends in tears. It's never going to work out for you.
Many a sitcom episode makes light of it, but it actually is pretty serious, guys. Don't do that.
Yeah, no, that's crappy, and we will find out. Women always find out. I'm just putting that
to
out.
Quote Han Solo, they always find out. Did we even mention that there were two Ians in the cold open when he killed the... I don't even know if we did, but there were...
Oh, whoops. No, we didn't. We were too busy focusing on him being murdered with that ugly nail file. Or wood file or whatever that was.
It was a letter opener.
Oh, damn it, a letter opener. Oh, whatever. But it was so memorable.
Yeah. So if we neglected to mention there were two Ians there, we apologize. But I don't see. That's the other thing about the death scene for Mr. Frankel. You didn't need two of them. You could have just been one. Like,
you could have held on to the secret a little longer, right?
Were two of them made no difference. He could have gone up to him and stabbed. The only thing they would have missed is, like, turning off the lights and turning on the boombox. That's what the other one's job was. Like, all right, man, you lock the door, turn off the lights, I'll stab him with the letter opener. Okay, sounds like a plan. It looks ridiculous. I didn't want to see a naked Jonathan Taylor Thomas. You know, I'm sure a lot of teenage girls at the time probably got excited, but
probably,
You know, not, like, what I'm saying is I could have done without seeing him naked, but I'm glad they addressed the fact that yes, he has to do this to, you know, split himself in two and then put on a new set of clothes. So
yeah,
see, we make fun of what day it is, but you know, they pay attention to details like that. So give him credit where credit is due.
Fair enough.
So we're about to go to commercial. Ian comes out, gets in the car with Chloe, they drive off, and then not 5 seconds later, Ian walks out of the Talon with Lana, and she's like, oh, well, thanks for whatever. He's like, oh, I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. And it's like, yep, there's a Jonathan Taylor Thomas one-liner to take us to commercial.
Right, though? Oh, God.
So we come back, and according to this jacked-up timeline, this is now day two of the episode, and Jonathan comes downstairs, and he, quote, slept in till 6 o'clock. So, you know, that tells you how long these days are, Nancy, to answer your question from earlier. These kids in Smallville, they get an early start. So he comes down on his crushes to find that Clark has already made breakfast and done all the chores. Mm-hmm. And my comment here is, why doesn't Clark do this every day?
Took the words right out of my mouth. Yes, exactly.
You have superpowers. Like, the fact that your parents have to, like, do hard manual labor is just unacceptable. You know? But Jonathan, he's a stubborn guy. And he's going to do it regardless. So of all the people to have a superpowered son, he's the one guy that'd be like, no, I'm still going to do this stuff myself. Because Martha comes downstairs and she's not, you know, quote unquote, dressed for work. She wants to stay home and help Jonathan today because she feels guilty that he got hurt. And of course, Clark says a story. He says, no one expects you to be in two places at once. It's like, oh, we get it, show. We get it. The in joke on the talent sign was enough. We don't need every scene somebody to say, oh, I wish there was two of me. Can't be in two places at once. You know, it's like, well, okay. You're so clever.
How many puns can we fit in here? How many references?
We go back to school, and Pete and Clark go up to the shop class, and they see there's a sign on the door that says, metal shop canceled today. All students report to study hall. Two things. One, study hall is not a place. Study hall is like a class period that takes place in different classrooms. Two, why would the room be closed? You would just go into it, right? And there'd be like a substitute teacher or something like that, right? Clearly the room is closed so they don't discover the dead body because they go snooping around there in a little bit. But I just thought that was this. Because it was, when have you ever gone up to a classroom in high school and like there's a sign that says, teacher's not here today. Go somewhere else.
Without providing you, I mean, as a former teacher, no, the last thing you want is like your students. I mean, if you're dead, you don't really get a say, but the administration doesn't want your kids just wandering around if you're not there.
Exactly. Well, yeah.
It's all right. We trust you guys in here with all this equipment. Like,
give kids an inch, they'll take a mile, right? So
it's really true.
So as they're walking to study hall, I guess, Clark spots Ian chatting up Lana. At her locker, and they mention her giving Ian a peer recommendation, you know, whatever that is.
Yeah, that's not a thing for scholarships. No one cares what your dumb peers have to say about you.
Well, Lana is a business partner with Lex, so if he's really going for the Luther Corp Foundation, or the Luther Foundation.
Good point.
Because Clark calls him out, he's like, you don't care about him at all, but I guess that...
Yeah. Clark tries to find some moral high ground.
Yeah. Okay. It's always tough for Clark, especially because, you know, he's always being dishonest with them. I mean, for a good cause, but it's like the boy who cried wolf, right? He lies to them so much about stuff. When he tries to, you know, point out that other people are lying to them, they're like, oh, that's rich coming from you. So it's kind of a no-win scenario for him. But Clark, man, he walks by at the worst times because he sees Ian, he kisses Lana right there. So, okay, right? this is day two. This is the morning of day two. That, as far as we know, like, they spent last night doing some math or whatever and then hung out for some. And now, like, he's just going to kiss her at school? Like, I don't know. Maybe I'm not forward like that. Maybe that's a character flaw, you know?
No, did you see Lana's face? Nah, she was not into that. I think she was just shocked.
Like, that's true. It's more like, what? You know,
like, what? I didn't. Uh-oh. But then you're like, oh, God, how do I get out of this? Oh, God.
But then he says, we'll talk later. Page me, which established he has a pager. Oh, my gosh, the pager.
Who had a pager in high school? What are you, a surgeon? Who had pagers in high school? That's dumb.
This it's just people have cell phones, right? So the fact that he has a pager.
At first I was thinking, and then when Pete later pulls out his flip phone, I was like, okay, no reason that boy should have a pager.
I legitimately LOL'd at that, and we'll get to that in a second here. But they make such a, because the pager becomes a crucial plot element, okay? And then immediately when they pull out a cell phone right afterward, I'm like, what? But let's get out of ourselves here. But so Clark comes up to Lana's locker and he's like, hey, looks like you and Ian are getting pretty friendly. And how does Chloe feel about this? Because, you know, he ditched her to go on a date with you last night. And Lana's like, no, Chloe and I unpacked all night last night and she never mentioned anything. So it's like, open your eyes, you know?
Oh, my God.
But, you know, again, it's hard for him to... Clark has set things up in a way here where it's hard for him to call other people out, and it's tough because he does look like he's being petty, like from a complete outsider. If you don't know the information that Clark knows,
sure,
it looks like he's being like, "Hey, well, blah blah blah," and "Hey, well, blah blah blah," like just trying to stir up drama. So sure, I get why Lana's like, "Why don't you just stay out of it?" You know, because I mean, he's romantically entangled with both of them in the past. So there's a lot of, as they say later, there's a lot of water under the bridge here. So these are tough conversations to have. And I don't know. Clark just doesn't do himself any favors in these situations.
No, I completely agree. He does not.
Although I have to say, when Clark is talking to Lana at her locker, we see that she has some poems in there from Byron back from Nocturne. So this is, I think, the only time that him, his character, that plot line is ever referenced at all. So kudos to the set decorators there for at least putting those up somewhere in her locker, because that's something a teenage girl would do. You know, it was a cute note that she liked back in the day, and now it's just
definitely
in her locker. So way to go. I never mentioned that before. I never noticed that before, I should say. And you know, when it's like when you play fantasy football, you're watching a different football game than the people that don't. Like,
sure,
when you're doing a podcast on a show and taking notes, you're watching a different show than people who are just, you know, taking it in week by week. So
agreed. Anyway.
Oh, the detail. So so then we get to our cut back to our Lex plot, which I guess is the B or C plot, because Lana moving in with Chloe is kind of the B plot, which ties into the A plot. So I'm going to call the Lex Helen Bryce plot the C plot. But oh no, but then there's the Jonathan broken leg plot. So Smallville has a problem with like this.
Oh my goodness.
like what is the A plot? They have many storylines going on in several episodes, and I don't know. It's kind of hard to keep track sometimes.
Yeah. That's... Mm-hmm.
Lex goes to his anger management class, and I had to LOL at his disdain of putting on the "My name is Lex" name tag. As if no one knows who he is, right?
Right, right. Oh, I appreciated that, because then when he runs into Dr. Bryce there, that I wasn't expecting to see her again, honestly, so soon. I thought she was like a... I mean, I thought it was a meet cute, and then I thought, now. Because obviously Jonathan breaking his leg doesn't really have anything to do with this story, so right. Dr. Bryce won't either. I was wrong.
You could remove that entire plot about Jonathan, and it wouldn't affect anything, although they do have those two or three lines about can't be everywhere at once, and I wish there was two of me, you know. But
yeah, I definitely think we could have done without the Jonathan broken leg line, but
Yeah. So you didn't, like, to your point, you don't expect a character from that, like, C plot to come over here on the D plot, you know.
Agreed.
Before. Yeah, it's like, oh, yeah, so where's the surprise Lex this year? Yeah, so let's talk about Emmanuelle Vaugier, which I think is how you pronounce her name. My apologies if it's wrong, but she, you know, I of course best know her from Smallville, but she's been in a lot of shows. She was on 2.5 Men for a while. I assume she was one of Charlie Sheen's girlfriends. She was in Saw 2. Did you ever watch any of the Saw movies?
Yeah, I feel like I saw some of them.
You saw some of them?
I don't remember. I fell right into that. I didn't, I don't remember which ones I saw.
So funny.
I've only seen the first two, and she's in the second one. So, but yeah, she was apparently in an episode of Highlander, the TV show back in the day. A couple episodes of Andromeda, Gene Roddenberry's Andromeda.
Really?
Some episodes of One Tree Hill, Supernatural. So it looks like she did the WBCW circuit. She was a juror number 12 in an episode of Monk. I thought that was kind of funny. And she was in a lot of episodes on CSI New York. So anyway, so she's had it's just a solid career there. And of course, you know, I know her best from Dr. Helen Bryce on Smallville. And she is a long-term recurring character. She's throughout this season, Nancy. So.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good to know.
Yeah, yeah. So her and Lex have a good back-and-forth here. They ask each other why they're both there. She drop-kicked an orderly. And he trashed the meter maid's car, and she asks him, how did it feel? And he says, felt great. which is an awesome thing to say. So then he, you know, he's obviously intrigued by her, because they seem to have some good chemistry off the top here. He's like, hey, you know, after class, do you want to, like, get together? And she's like, no. He's like, what? Well, why not? And she's like, you don't remember me, do you? She walks off, and Lex is like, oh, what have I done in my past to offend this woman?
Uh-oh. Now? Yeah, who have I pissed off?
So we leave that hanging there. It's funny. Lex meets all these women that he ends up marrying. Spoilers. But Lana and Helen here, he met them both in his youth and did not remember their first meeting. And yes, he does end up marrying Helen and Lana, Nancy. So just what? Saying. Yep. Mm-hmm. Gonna have to keep watching to find out more about that. So
what?
What? I know, right?
Oh, my God. Okay. Just keep going.
I didn't even put that on the notes. That completely came to me as we were talking about this. Like, it's when he meets Lana for the first time in Metamorphosis, they had met before when he's in Metropolis, he didn't remember. When he meets Helen for the first time in this episode, they had met before in Metropolis, and he didn't remember. And he ends up marrying them both. But anyway, Clark comes to the torch to talk to Chloe. Look, and Clark is genuinely trying to be a good friend here. He's like, Chloe.
Yes, he is.
Listen, Lana and Ian, I saw them together, and they're going out again tonight, and you know, and Chloe's defensive, as and understandably so, because she just thinks Clark's trying to like rain on her parade. And look, mm-hmm. if you were Chloe, I totally get why she would feel that way. But you know, she basically says to Clark, "Okay, look, Ian likes me more. He knows that Lana likes him, and he asked me to keep me and him a secret so we don't hurt her feelings." It's like, oh, come on! Like whenever your significant other tells you, like, "Hey, don't tell anyone this." About us, that's like that's the biggest red flag in the world.
Yeah, that's really not a good. Yeah, it's at this point I was like, ugh. Like I started to get irritated. I'm like, oh, we're being set up for damsel trope again. Blah. Hysterical, emotional women with no logic can't make good decisions for themselves. Blah.
And this is day two, by the way.
Day two. Oh, wow. Okay.
That's why what day it is becomes such an interesting really topic does, of conversation. Oh, and look, I know, I understand they have to accelerate things on television, but yes. You have to at least convey the passage of time, right? You can't just say, yes. like, if you're going to truncate things, let's have a night, a day, so you feel like, oh, it's been a week? Okay, I can buy it more. But not a day, come on, guys. Oh, and then this line sums it all up for Chloe. She says, you really can't imagine that someone would choose me over Lana, can you, Clark? It's like, ooh, that really gets to the yep. heart of it right there, right?
So. And I was just like, well, you need to leave because you can't say anything after that.
Yeah, out you job. Go. Slams the door on him. I don't know what door, like how many doors are in the torch, but she slams some door somewhere on him, and he's in the torch by himself. So then he goes outside to confront Ian because, I mean, he's gone to Lana, he's gone to Chloe, he's gotten nowhere. She's like, all right, fine, I'm going to have to just talk to this guy. Right. He's like, we need to talk. And he's like, you're playing Lana and Chloe against each other. And he says, I must have learned from the master, which was like the best comeback. Like of all his terrible, like one liners, like that one was pretty good. Cause he's exactly correct. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yup.
And then, you know, Clark's a smart guy. He figures it out. He just tells Ian like, look, I know you're using them, for your scholarship. Lana gets you the fast track to Lex and Chloe gets you the big newspaper article. So, right. He calls him out on this, and then he also, like, he's not getting anywhere with Ian. Ian's just being a smart-ass to him. Yep. So, and, you know, just poking at Clark with all that talk about, you know, him, you know, ditching Chloe and screwing with Lana's emotions and stuff like that. So it's all true. Like, from their perspective, like, completely true.
Right.
I think that's why Clark goes ahead and plays his card about him getting him knowing that Ian got the C in the shop class. If he was a little more emotionally level-headed there, I think Clark should have kept that to himself because that's letting Ian know that he's onto him, you know?
Yes, I completely agree.
So that raises his suspicions, and then him and Pete start snooping around, which, again, I can only assume is the school shop room. Like, the geography is never really made clear. But Pete and Clark are looking around. Pete thinks it's a bad idea. And, of course, they find the dead body. The classic open up the cabinet, and the dead body just kind of slowly falls out on top of Pete, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
I just keep thinking, like, these kids are either, like, super resilient, or we're having a lot of, like, delayed onset, like, trauma and stuff from constantly finding dead bodies.
Yeah.
I mean, watching people get murdered. Like, my goodness.
The X-Files, right, is one thing, because Mulder and Scully are FBI agents. They've trained for this, and they're adults, you know?
Scully, she's a doctor. Like,
right,
not,
she does autopsies
the
all the
thing.
Time. Yeah, you know, because I think we joke. At least two people die in every episode of the X-Files.
At least.
So this was all very confusing to me because the body falls out, and then these canisters fall over, and this fire starts, and I thought, what was it, booby trapped or something? Like
right?
that was my first thought. But then we see, you know, Clark sees Ian, like, through the flames walking by. So I guess what, he had his double just hanging out there waiting if somebody came in, found the body, and then he just was going to start that fire.
I guess so.
It's very oddly blocked and just hard to understand. So
I agree.
And I'm taking notes here. I'm trying to pay close attention to the details, okay?
Maybe we shouldn't be. Maybe that's the problem.
You know, if this happened to you, where's the first place you would go? Clearly, I would go to Chloe's house, because that's what Clark does. This happens, the first thing they do, well, maybe he had Pete deal with the cops, and I guess that's what Pete. Pete is, you know, he's Clark's sidekick basically now, since he knows his secret. So it's helpful, but it also just, and that's something about Pete. Like, he's basically devolved into, hey, Pete, I need to do some stuff. Can you help me out? But anyway, so Clark goes right to Chloe's house, walks in, doesn't knock, I guess, doesn't, you know, I don't know. He just walks. I guess the door's unlocked. We had a lot of fun a couple weeks ago talking about how all the doors seem to always be unlocked in Smallville. But hey, the town is called Smallville, right? People trust themselves.
Oh my goodness.
All right. Hey, I'm not.
I guess so. Yeah. All right.
But all the lights.
I'll roll with it.
All the lights are off, right?
Yeah.
Clark walks in, turns on the light, and of course, Ian and Chloe are making out. And, man, how many times is Clark going to walk in on people just, like, making out like this? Like, that is...
That's just, like, part of... That's one of his superpowers that he doesn't know about.
I guess so. I just don't get why... I get why for the story that he went there, but he explains to Chloe, like, hey, he just tried to kill me and Pete, and I think he killed Mr. Frankel, too. And they're like, what are you talking about? Are you joking? When did this happen? And Clark's like 20 minutes ago. It's like, so I came right here, right? And Ian's like, that's impossible. I've been here for the last 3 hours. And then he cut to commercial. It's like, that's like some big shocking thing, right?
But it wasn't. But yeah.
I don't know. What they wanted, they basically built this around. And I remember this clip being in the trailer. And I'll find the episode preview and post it as I always do. But the clip of Clark coming in the room and seeing Chloe and Jonathan Taylor Thomas making out and then being shocked that he found them in there. That's what this scene was constructed for, right? And everything else was just like, how do we, whatever, just have them say whatever they need to say, and just, well, this is the moment we want. So that's why this scene just doesn't make any sense.
Right. No.
So we come back from commercial. Clark keeps trying to tell, well, he's trying to tell Chloe just then. He's trying to tell Lana at the talent now. Lana is mad at him for, you know, interjecting himself into these relationships. And look,
I don't blame her.
From Lana's perspective, she's completely in the right, right?
Yeah.
But here, Clark gets Lana's side of things. She's like, Lana tells Clark, yeah, you know, Ian said that Chloe liked him, and, you know, but, you know, him and I are together, and we didn't want to upset her, so we haven't told her. And so
together,
just,
it's been like, what, two days?
This is the night of middle school?
Jeez.
Middle school was only 2 years ago for these kids, believe it or not.
Oh my God, that's right.
But yeah, again, huge red flag when you're like, hey, so I know we're going somewhere this weekend, but don't tell anybody, okay? It's like, what? Yeah, that's no, creepy. that is
not
wrong.
Good.
If your significant other is telling you that, just be discerning and, you know, things might not be what they seem.
Exactly. Oh my God, yes.
So yeah, so Clark is just hitting a wall with them, but it's his own fault. He set himself up where they're not gonna, like, you know, trust him, because this is nothing different than how he's acted before.
Right.
So we cut back to our Lex and Helen plot, and Lex has, you know, I guess jogged his memory and now remembers Dr. Bryce, and apparently he was in some, you know, drunken stupor at Metropolis General, and she was the first year med student assigned to sober him up. So I guess that was their meet cute, right?
Ew. Anything but, it sounds like.
but it turns out they're kind of kindred spirits in a way, because her father's a big time plastic surgeon, and she refused to join her father's practice, and now they're not speaking. And then Lex says they hate it when you do that, which is hilarious, because that's exactly what he did to Lionel.
Yeah, I liked that. I thought that worked out.
Yeah, so it does seem things are moving kind of fast with Lex and Helen here, but they do seem to have a good chemistry, and they do have, like, they're kindred spirits in that way. So I buy the fact that they'd be like, hey, you know, you want to do something after this? Sure. I get off in 10 minutes, so that sets up the fact that, you know, Lex is going to be dating Dr. Bryce here, and that's something we see for the rest of the season. So,
oh, really? Oh, okay.
Yeah, she's a long-term. She's a long. As I said, they get married, Nancy.
I know, that's crazy to me, but okay. Got it.
one of Lex's several weddings over the course of the show. So Clark does his own investigating here, because, you know, whenever Chloe is like wrapped up in the Freak of the Week mystery, Clark is forced to do some investigating himself. Which I feel they should have tapped more into, like these should have been the building blocks for him. Like, you know what, I'm really into this journalism thing. they kind of reference it a little bit, but it gets lost in the shuffle of all the big Superman stuff. Like, and that's awesome that he, like, becomes Superman. That's the point of the show. But I would also like to see more of the journey of him truly becoming Clark Kent, right? Becoming the investigative reporter, right? Because that's not just a secret identity. Yes, it is, right? But it's who he is. It's what he does. Like, he does it because he's good at it and he wants to get to the bottom of truth. And they mention that occasionally in the show, but way more emphasis is put on, like, his Kryptonian destiny than, like, yeah, I'm going to be a journalist, you know? But anyway.
Yeah.
Clark has pulled all these, I guess, school records. I guess you can do that. I don't know. But he has like, transcripts for no, okay. You can't. Yeah, don't you have to have, like, a birth certificate or something to get someone's transcripts? I don't know. But he has Ian Smallville High School transcript and his Smallville Community College transcript, and he's figured out that he was taking classes simultaneously at both that take place at the same time. Now, I don't know who's at fault here, like the school board or, you know, I don't know when people could have figured out, like, that was a thing.
Yes.
But I don't know. Hey, the internet was still new, you know?
I know.
It's the pre-digital age. People are using beepers, Nancy, so...
Oh boy, I laughed so much about that.
So this is the big dramatic turn of the episode here. They use the beeper against Ian, which is ridiculous. They decide to page him, and they page him to say, okay, here's the deal. I don't understand how beepers work because I'm in my 20s. Okay. When someone sends you a message, can you see where it came from?
I think what happens is you see the number that I think the number and maybe a short message. I think the original beepers, it was just the number that came up.
And it's like, oh, like, I need to get to a phone immediately.
You can see who called you. Yeah.
I need to get to a phone immediately and call these people.
I think later versions of it did kind of have like a truncated sort of text message with it. I could be completely wrong, but that's kind of what I remember about my dad's pager. Okay. So I think so.
So. Okay, well, hey, this is all tied together. Great. This is day three, I guess.
Yeah.
It's day three. Okay. Of course, Ian doesn't have their phone numbers memorized, Lana and Chloe. It's only day three, right? So it's understandable if he got a text from a page,
exactly,
from a weird number, and it said, "Meet me at my house at 5:30, and meet me at the Talon at 5:30."
And he's like, "Okay."
Yeah, he's like, okay. So he shows up, one Ian shows up at Chloe's house, and Chloe's dad's there, and he's like, oh, hey, well, Chloe's not here, sorry. He's like, oh, okay. And then Clark is, you know, nearby. He sees this happen. And then the other Ian shows up at the Talon. He comes out. Pete's just chilling out with a coffee in front of the Talon. And Ian's like, hey, Pete, have you seen Lonnie? He's like, oh, no, man, I don't know. Maybe something came up. So he leaves. So this, I genuinely LOL at this moment, because this entire thing is built around, oh, Ian has a pager, you know? And I thought, well, such outdated technology. So silly, but it's okay. It's the early 2000s. And then what happens here? Pete pulls out a cell phone and calls Clark on his cell phone and says, hey, we are definitely seeing double, which is a classic Pete line. I love that. But it's like...
I laughed as well.
The cell phones and the beeper? No, it doesn't work that way. They just undercut their entire point by having these guys immediately talk on cell phones after they set someone up with a pager message. Here's a thought, Ian. Why don't you call, you know, Cole Hiramata?
Right. Like, right.
But just the fact they felt that was a great, like, thing to do. Like, oh, man, what if we set someone up with a beeper message? Like, what is this? Like some sitcom from 1987? Come on. But enough about the beepers. Okay. So Lana goes to the torch, talks to Chloe. They kind of air things out. They say, oh, we should have been honest with each other. The only reason this got so far, because look, they've kind of figured things out at this point. Things have gotten out of control. They said the only reason it got this far is we need to be honest with each other. So, okay, yeah, no more secrets. Great. I wonder how long that'll last. But for now, Lana and Chloe are cool. They've cleared the air about Ian. They figure out that he's just two-timing them and he's no good. So Ian shows up to the torch. And, you know, once he kind of figures out that they're onto him, because they basically say, we're on to you, Ian, which is probably not the smartest thing to say. But they didn't know there's two of them, and they didn't know he's homicidal at this point.
No. Oh, no, they didn't.
Although Clark did tell him that Ian tried to kill him and Pete and probably kill the teacher. But that's beside the point, Nancy.
Indeed.
I find this comically, like, a comical escalation of tension, right? Whenever somebody comes into a room, closes the door, locks the door. And there's always like that tight shot, that they insert shot of somebody locking the deadbolt. Like, that's what they do. You're like, oh, it's about to go down up in here.
Exactly. You're like, oh, snap.
So Ian knows that they're onto him, and that's going to ruin his career. And he's all about the Luther Foundation scholarship and all that stuff. So it's very simple. He's going to have to kill them, basically, because clearly he's a sociopath, right?
Yeah, that's what has to happen. I mean, it's amazing he's a sociopath at such a... Anyway.
There's a lot of sociopaths in Smallville, so...
Yeah, there must... I mean, clearly... God, he's gonna just straight up murder them. Like, he's not really thinking ahead. What are you gonna do with their dead bodies in the torch room?
Well, he writes a nice suicide note, right?
Oh, that made me. Oh, that it made me prickly.
He plans ahead, writes a suicide note. What did they say? What it was just something like, oh, we found the. We're distraught over Ian. We both love him. We can't stand it. We've gone to the bridge to end it all, or something like that. So he leaves that on the computer for Clark to find. But before the commercial break ends, the second Ian comes in, Chloe and Lana are trying to run away, and they almost get to the door. And he comes in, and he says, "Hey girls, how about a double date?"
And then he's like, "Together, you're almost my equal." And I was just like, "Barf in my mouth."
Yeah, complete. What a chauvinist thing to say, right?
And then I was like, why do the women never fight back? I don't understand that at
like,
all.
I really think they could have taken him. Well, that's true, yeah. We all know what those are. I just don't understand
how they, like, back up, like, oh, no, ladies, like, there's not electricity coming out of his hands. He's just a dude. There's two of them.
Right.
But I feel like there's heavy equipment in the room you're in.
It's not Tom Welling here. It's Jonathan Taylor Thomas. Like, he's like 5'7" and a half. You know, you can take
at
him.
At best, right. Like,
anyway, it just...
Yeah, the angsty suicide note on that lovely green iMac.
Yeah, the green iMac, of course, yeah. So Clark and Peek find that, and they don't call... Well, you know what, Clark, to their credit, they called Chloe. Chloe saw that it was Clark and decided not to answer because she's sick of his BS this week.
But just this week.
Which shows that she has caller ID on her phone, but Ian doesn't have caller ID in his beeper. But that's, again, I'm sorry, we're done with the beepers, moving on.
No, I know. Well, but that is kind of a plot hole, so I think it's fair to bring it up.
And it was just such a fascinating... I'm just fascinated by outdated technology. I mean, I have a Laserdisc player. I'm a Laserdisc collector, so I mean, what can I say? Anyway, Ian has taken Lana and Chloe to the dam, which we've seen a couple times in Smallville already. It's a great location. I mean, like, clearly it's some awesome location in Canada because we see all the trees and all that good stuff. He takes them out of the car one by one. And, Chloe does start to fight back here, but then she falls on the concrete and gets knocked out. So that is a plus one of the KOs to keep Clark's secret, because, you know, Chloe's incapacitated, so she doesn't see Clark use superpowers. Lana keeps fighting, and they're fighting, and Ian 1 tells Ian 2, like, hey, can I get a hand over here? Because Lana's kind of a handful. But just as... Ian 2 picks up Chloe to throw over the dam, Clark super speeds up, sees this happen, jumps down to the bottom of the dam, beats Chloe there, catches her and saves her. That is a complete physics fail, okay? Because, like...
Yes.
Like, I'll just read this. So
yes.
Neil Bailey from the Superman homepage said it best, so I'm just going to read a passage from his review here to break it all down. He says, "Now we have the Gwen Stacy argument against the survival of Chloe. Sorry, folks, I hate to break it to you, but Chloe is dead. Dead as a doornail." So, for you see, when you throw someone off a dam and someone jumps off after that someone, even if that someone, Clark, can magically somehow pass that someone, the undead, in mid-flight, say, using his unusable flight skills perhaps, land on the ground before the person, somehow right yourself to catch the undead, and then catch the said undead, the force of gravity would break many, many major bones of the body of that person, if not kill them spectacularly, probably breaking the bones of the catchee as well, assuming that catchee was not Clark. What this extremely long and convoluted sentence implies, yeah, tell me about it, gosh, is that Chloe fell, Clark caught her without slowing her descent at all, and Chloe broke every major bone in her body and died. You saw the fall. You saw the fall as well as I did. It was at least 100 feet. No one can survive even a soft landing at that distance without extreme luck, and certainly not without great personal injury. Add in the fact that she had brain damage from being knocked out, and I wonder just who the heck is editing these scripts. This is how Gwen Stacy died, essentially, and this is how Chloe Sullivan has died. So, thank you, Neil Belli. That was a mouthful, but I think he made the point.
I completely agree, though. I thought that, too. I'm like, there's not gonna... He just, like, caught her. Like, there was no, like, recoil or snapback with her neck or anything from fall... Yeah, I had a real...
Well, when
I just thought, okay, TV magic, move on.
Well, normal Superman, like adult, fully powered Superman, he can float and levitate, right? So, and fly. So, he can control gravity and all that stuff. So, he can meet someone at their own speed and catch them that way and then ease them down to the ground. So, that's the excuse that you can use in the favor of physics for Superman. And even the Flash, right? When the Flash catches people, he does the whole windmill thing with his arms to kind of slow down, to create like a draft to slow someone's descent down. So that's pretty smart, because obviously he's Flash stuck on the ground, but he can at least, you know, use wind to his advantage.
Right.
But yeah, here, yeah, Chloe's dead.
she's so dead. So dead.
But then Clark super speeds back up. For Ian number two, he does this, you know, the standard throw somebody 20 feet or whatever. And then for Ian number one, Lana has struggled to the point where Lana has thrown them both, kind of, or brought Ian number one over the side of the dam with her, and she's holding onto the rail, and Ian number one is holding onto her. And then Clark super speeds over, catches Lana. Ian one falls to. Okay, no one caught Ian one. Okay, so he should be dead. All right, Ian one should be dead.
That's exactly right.
but it's all left very vague. No, it's not discussed at all. Like, he just falls. Clark pulls Lana up, and all is well. So here's what I'm saying earlier. Ian was originally supposed to die. Writer Mark Verheiden had this to say: they both fell off the dam, and we shot that. It ended with them reaching out and touching each other with their fingers fusing a little bit, and then they died. But Jonathan Taylor Thomas was so good that we decided to keep him around. So,
wow.
Yeah, yep, and that is a deleted scene, and that's included on the DVDs, and I'll post it to our social media this week. But they should have just had him die, because he knows Clark's secret, right? Jonathan Taylor Thomas wasn't that good in this episode, frankly. Like Adam Brody in the episode that you and I watched for last season, Crush, last time you were on, Nancy. He was great. And like,
that was, I agree.
It's like, find a way to bring that guy back, not Jonathan Taylor Thomas. Now, they do, like, to jump ahead a little bit, Nancy, because I don't know which episodes you'll watch or cover or anything like that, but he comes back in season three in an episode called Asylum, and he teams up with two or three other kryptonite freaks who know Clark's secret, who are in Bell Reve, it's pronounced different ways, but that's kind of like the Arkham Asylum of the Superman universe. So they all team up to defeat Clark, because they want revenge on Clark for putting them in prison, basically. And they all know his secret, and they know his weaknesses and all that stuff. So it's actually a very interesting... I mean, it was a story that needed to be told with all these teenagers that Clark's putting away. Like, eventually they're going to talk and team up and seek out their vengeance. But Jonathan Taylor Thomas, like... Like, look, guys, I get that he was a big deal in Home Improvement, but come on. I saw nothing in this episode saying, oh man, I want to see that guy again. That's what I'm saying. So I would have had them both die. And even then, you think, oh, maybe he's mad. Okay, because we'll just talk about it now. He still splits into two in Asylum in season three. And I thought, okay, maybe what they can do is one half of him died and the other half is like upset, right? They're like, oh, that was my twin. That was myself, you know. That was half of me, and you took that away from me. That could have been his drive for vengeance, right? They could have done some interesting things. They didn't. He just splits into two like nothing happened. I mean, he's not multiple man from the X-Men, right? In fact, they never even attempt to explain his powers at all. Like, there's not even as silly and stupid as some of the kryptonite freaks of the week are. Tell us something. Like, don't give us, like, they give us no explanation. Like, he can just, was it like a Jack deal? Like the Robin Williams movie Jack, or like multiple embryos like fused together in conception and he aged it four times the rate? By the way, I love that movie. I love Jack. I feel like a lot of people don't like it very much. I thought it was great. Of course, I saw it as a kid. So maybe
maybe that's
one of those other things that we shouldn't revisit, Nancy. Never go back. I don't know. Maybe Clark could have found. Well, Chloe's usually the exposition person who finds all this stuff out, right? So, you know, that's interesting. This is not even in my notes. I'm just talking here. You and I covered Crush last season, as we talked about a lot. They have no kryptonite explanation for that guy either. or any kind of pseudoscience explanation. Same thing here for Ian. And I feel like because Chloe is kind of wrapped in to that story, and she's not the outside investigator like she is most of the time, that's yeah. why we couldn't like, oh, I talked to my friend down at the, you know, FCA or whatever, right? To give you some kind of like birth certificate or record or medical history, right? So this information that Chloe usually is the one that finds out, she's out of the loop this time in the investigation. So story-wise, right. I can see why they couldn't find a way to fit it in, but it's like, oh, I guess it's a Smallville. I guess people just split into two now. I mean, you assume it's a kryptonite-infused power, but they never come out and say that. So.
Yeah, they don't actually say that.
But anyway, but that's the end of Ian for this episode, at least. We cut back to the Kent farm, and Martha's going over the finances and looking to see if she could possibly quit her job with Luther Corp.
Oh, boy.
Because she feels like it's taking away from her time with her family. So, Nancy, sounds like you have some stuff to say about this. Please.
I had so much stuff to... Well, okay, no. So, at first I was like, my notes say, oh, my God, no, Martha, don't give up your independence. And then I was like, dot, dot, dot. Oh, okay. I was about to flip a table. I was like, Jonathan's kind of saying the right things. Kind of. I mean, there's still some problems with it, but overall, I could tell that for that, you know, when this was made, that was the appropriate "I support you" response from a husband. But I'm still kind of like, I don't know. I had some issues with that. Poor Martha.
Yeah, it's. I could see what they were trying to do.
Right. That's what I mean. That's why I'm not like hating it.
Right.
I can see what they're trying to say. Like, Jonathan was being the supportive husband, even if I didn't like how he said it.
Yeah, and that's the end of that random subplot.
Okay, right, though? Yeah, the whole time I think I was more irritated that we had to come back to this and tie it up than I was with what was actually being said.
Exactly. I feel the same way. Like, you take this weird subplot out, you can flesh out more of Chloe and Lana and Ian. Maybe give us a couple extra days. Somehow, yes. in this episode. Of course, the Jonathan going to the hospital ties in Lex to meet Dr. Bryce. So, I mean, there is that factor. That they could have done that in a thousand ways.
Yeah,
right? They could have met at the anger management. Like, they could have left out the hospital stuff totally. I don't know. It's not. Yes, everything's connected, but it's not like interwoven. You know, if that terminology makes sense. But
no, it does. It does. No, I know what you mean.
So. We're wrapping things up here. Lana and Chloe, they're getting settled in as roommates. And so this scene starts off as a Bechdel test fail, right? Because they're talking about the whole thing with Ian.
Yeah,
but,
it does.
But I feel like the scene goes on long enough and they shift gears enough to talk about being roommates and they talk about abandonment and all that stuff. I think I think it comes back around and I'm going to actually call this a Bechdel test pass.
I wrote that I thought it technically passed for what you just said, but for me personally, it doesn't really pass because most of their conversation was about a guy.
Well, preferably these would have been two separate scenes, right?
Yes. But,
and usually these scenes are so short, like there's no chance for like to go one way or the other. But right. the fact that like I don't know, I don't think most of it was. I'd say maybe the first like 20% of it was about, you know,
the I mean the episode overall.
Situation.
I meant.
Well, yeah. Sorry. That's true. I see.
Yeah.
But then, you know, they start to wrap it up.
It does
up
pass.
And,
you're right.
Yeah, because they actually talk about some heavy stuff here that I wish they would have spent more time on in this episode instead of, oh, Jonathan broke his leg. How much you want to bet Jonathan does not have a broken leg next week. I don't remember, to be honest, what's in store for us in Skinwalker as far as Jonathan's leg goes. But I would bet money that he is just walking around on the farm like nothing ever happened. But anyway, to my point here, though, Lana talks about having like kind of – she's kind of overcompensating, right? Because she wants – she's doing laundry and she's doing – making dinner and stuff like that. And Chloe tells Lana something that her dad told her after her mom left, because Chloe felt, you know, they both have abandonment issues, and which are real issues that people have in the real world,
sure.
Which I appreciate them trying to, you know, weave those in here to the story. Because look, Clark is the fantastical thing, right? Clark, Superman, Clark, all everything he's got going on, that's the fantastical stuff. I like it when he's surrounded by people with grounded problems. Right.
Yes.
Like,
I agree.
When Chloe is not a meteor freak or Lana is not a witch, those are both plot lines that come up later in the show, Nancy.
Oh my god! Oh my
but
god.
That's just like, oh, you don't need to do that. Why can't we just have like a grounded world around Clark and let him be the fantastical thing? So I liked how they have these just everyday normal problems. It grounds the show. It grounds the characters. It makes them more relatable. Like, oh yeah, well, Chloe's mom left when she was a kid. Lana's aunt just left after her parents died, right? Years later. I mean, all credit to Nell for taking care of Lana, raising her all those years, but she did just leave to Metropolis, and she wanted to take Lana with her. Lana wanted to stay, so ultimately here she is, just with no family in town. Other than her possibly biological father, which is a plot line that we follow up on later this season. So Chloe says to Lana, you don't have to earn a right to be part of this family, right? And I feel like we all feel that way in certain ways, because certain things happen in your family situations. You're like, oh, well, I got to make up for this, or I got to earn my keep around here. And yes, do your responsibilities, right? Like, this is not to say that that's not what you need to be doing, but don't feel like, oh, man, I have to do this so people love me, right? It's like a rewards-based kind of, like, give-and-take thing. And that's not what family and love is. Family is family, right? If love is love, right? You shouldn't have to, like, conditionally-based stuff like that. So anyway, I see a kernel of a nice life lesson in this ridiculous episode of Smallville, I felt.
I agree. The conversation that Lana and Chloe have at the end, to me, I was like, all right, this is fine.
It doesn't excuse
anything, but I thought to myself, same thing. Like, oh, look, there's some real talk in here in this, like, ridiculous, silly episode.
Things are good, but then things are suddenly not good because Clark comes to the town, and apparently Chloe and Lana called him to kind of have, I don't know, I don't want to call it an intervention, but like a I don't know what you call this, just a meeting between the three of them. And they apologized to Clark for not believing him. You know, I thought this was a good scene. I liked this scene because Clark stands up for himself here. And usually when it comes to these girls, he's just a pushover. He's like, oh, okay, Lana, well, I'm sorry, you know. And instead he's like, no, listen, none of us have ever dated. I'm not a jealous ex-boyfriend. Well, okay, but honestly, I mean, he has gone on dates with them both. So it's kind of, I don't know what you define as dated.
That's what I was thinking.
I don't know what you define as dated, you know? but he's like, if you want to be friends, let's be friends. That's how it's going to be. And then he kind of like drops the mic and walks out. So I like the assertiveness he has there, where he's like not completely just shrinking down because, oh, it's Lana, or oh, Chloe, I don't want to hurt your feelings, that kind of stuff. Because he has a tendency to do that as the show goes on. Well, yeah, I'm sure you probably did. So, but, you know, Clark always, though, always he's like, oh, I'm sorry.
Well, see, I don't know that. I didn't realize that
he's always moping around and, like, you know, having to, like, watch from afar and all this stuff and being, you know, a classic CW stuff to that. You know, effect. You know what I'm saying? So it was nice to see him on a rare occasion be like, no, you know what? Let's be friends. Don't, you know, jump to conclusions about what I say. And we'll be, but it's all undercut by the fact that he does kind of constantly lie to them.
Right. That was really my only,
So in a vacuum, I'll just say this, in a vacuum, I liked the way he approached the situation in a vacuum.
Yes. Well, because he had a real point. I think they both had valid points.
Yeah.
He's like, you weren't willing to listen to me because you assumed that I was going to be jealous or whatever. And then they were like, okay, but like, stop trying to save us from making mistakes. Like, it's our mistake to make, which I also thought was a valid point. But it was a little undercut where they're just like, he's not honest about when they ask if friends is all he wants. I was like, here you go. Here's your chance to back up the which you know what, I understand, I get why he would, I get it, but I was a little irritated when he's just like, I expected more from you guys, what are you, my mom?
Yeah, that was a little pushing it, like he could have not been like, so strong with that. Yeah,
you could have been like, oh, I expected more from you guys because we're all friends, or like, you know, whatever.
But I think he is, and he might be overcompensating because he is such a pushover all the time. Like, I've seen that myself do that in the past. Like, when I'm so just like, okay, it's cool. I'll put up with this. It's cool. And then finally it's like, you know what? No, it's not cool. I've expected, like, you swing so far around the other side to try and balance it out, but you can't do it that way. Listen, folks, life lessons from Always Alone in Smallville. Never try to overcompensate. Just always find the middle and just hang around there. Okay. Overcompensating is never the answer.
There you go. The middle. Hang around. Okay, I mean, I guess we could go with that too.
The random song choice here, by the way, I Wish I Cared by Aha. Like, I wish
that?
I cared.
Like, what an intro, right? Okay, I'm glad I wasn't the only one who noticed
that. Yeah, it's like, oh, weird. Okay, I'm sure this must have been, because sometimes the songs kind of tie into what's going on. It's like, oh, yeah. That's cool. Yeah. Or you know, it kind of hits that right emotional chord. This was just like, hey, we need a song for the end of this episode. And this is like, I think the song is like, what, from like the 80s, right? So it wasn't like the hot new hit from the WB, you know?
Yeah, like, right.
I don't know. So it's just an odd choice. And then, you know, Clark walks out of town. He looks pretty pleased with himself, you know, and walks down the street. And they've used this, I guess, the if it ain't broke, don't fix it, right? They've used this shot before in Smallville, yeah, where he comes out of the town and he walks off and we kind of pan up to the marquee. And, you know, it's a cool shot. Good production value. Nice way to end it. And there we go. And that is Dichotic.
You want honesty? The truth is that I expected more from both of you.
And we expected more from you. We made a mistake, but it was ours to make. So what do we do now?
Well, first we can stop treating me like the jealous boyfriend. Since none of us have actually dated. If you want to be friends, let's be friends.
Is that what you really want?
Yeah, it is. Good night.
Dichotic got an 8.0 out of 10 on IMDb, which is, I mean, surprisingly high.
I was about to say, yeah, that seems... okay.
I mean, a lot of small episodes are around like the 7.5 is probably an average episode of Smallville on IMDb so far. And I would call this a below average episode of Smallville. And to see it have an 8 is like, oh, really? Okay. Neil Bailey from the Superman homepage, he agrees with me. He says, so we had a really great moment with Lex and a possible great development girlfriend ? and we have the nipples of Jonathan Taylor Thomas, a freak of the week, more whining non-development between the love triangle of Chloe, Clark, and Lana. And most importantly, another escapade into inconsistency and impossible physics. For this, I give this episode a 2 of 5, save from a 1 only by a 9 iron. So pretty tough on this episode. But Nancy, what would you give Dichotic on a letter scale? If you were Mr. Frankel and you had to grade.
Okay. Well, I like Mr. Frankel. I would probably give it like a C-. That's what I'm going to give it. Can you give a C-?
Oh, yeah. We do pluses and minuses. Yeah, absolutely. Okay.
I mean, I gave plenty of students C-, but I didn't know if like that was part of the rating system here.
So, and okay. If I'm Mr. Frankel, I'm just going to give it a straight up C. But I just think this, when people think of Smallville, people that have a low opinion of this series, this is exactly the kind of episode they think of. Some ridiculous freak of the week, some love triangle silliness, you know weird plots that don't, I mean... I could just imagine, like, if this is the only episode somebody watched of Smallville who had never seen it, they'd be like, yep, that's pretty much what I expected.
It's garbage. And you're like, no, it's not really.
And for all the hoopla made over Jonathan Taylor Thomas on Smallville, like, I was disappointed. Like, like we talked about, there's no explanation, you know, and Neil Bailey also had this, he had a long review, and as I always do now, I'll post his review to our social media later this week, but he had this to say about Jonathan Taylor Thomas. Also, freak of the week, very, very cheap. Jonathan Taylor Thomas, freak of the week. As if I don't feel like enough of a teeny bopper watching the Buffy demographic type of show. Let's rub it in with the teen idol of what, 1997? which is a good burn. It's like, yeah, Smallville, he would have been a great get if this was, you know, 1993, not 2003. So, well, good yeah, point. That's what, yeah, because a good guest star can really elevate, you know, the material. Like again, we keep going back to that, but I feel like there are a lot of comparisons to this episode in Crush, Nancy, and I feel like Adam Brody in that episode really elevated what could have been just a two-dimensional character. He really added some just layers to it, and Jonathan Taylor Thomas just pretty much plays it straight. There's no depth here. He's just a smarmy guy looking to, like you said, you expected more, you know, from him. He's just a smarmy guy looking to get good grades. I'm like, that's it? That's your motivation? Okay, sure. If you say so. But anyway, that's And ultimately, we have a C and a C minus episode from us. That's what it comes down to. So,
yep.
And then one final bit of business: the series tally board. We have a plus one for the faculty and staff death from Smallville High School. That's going to bring us to 3 total so far. So, see, not that many, Nancy.
Goodness.
And okay. we have a plus one for a hospital visit for Jonathan, who obviously had the broken leg. That brings us to 16 so far. And then we have a plus one for Chaos to keep Clark's secret for Chloe at the end of the episode, and that brings us to 11. So that's our tally board. Now you questioned how many actual students had died. Was that what you wanted to know?
That too.
4 Smallville High School students have died.
Okay. And what are we, like, midway through season 2? That's not bad.
Yeah, I mean, I expect it to be a lot worse, to be honest.
Yeah, I did too. That's so, okay. Yeah. I feel like that gets a pass.
Well, it's still on at 7 o'clock Central in the first couple seasons. They moved to 8 o'clock Central, so they get a little more violent then, I think. People start dying more often. But so, yeah, for Smallville, the entirety of Smallville High School, only 7 people have died so far. 4 students and 3 teachers. So, you know.
Okay. That's not bad. That's actually a lot lower than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, so same here. So right. That's part of the reason I do these tally boards, like to keep, it's a fun way of keeping track of this stuff, but it also kind of like puts things in a better perspective. On the other hand, the hospital visits now being at 15 is very concerning, considering this is the the 30th episode of the show. So we're, you know, for every 2 episodes, we go to the hospital once. That is a pretty high ratio, if you ask me.
Yeah, that's high. Those are, yeah.
Whew. Well, Nancy, that was a fun one. Lots to discuss, as
fun.
Always. So you've completed 1/2 of your Home Improvement 2 pack, and you'll be back to talk about Witness near the end of the season. But until then, Nancy, if people want to find you on the internet, where can they find you?
Let's see. You can find me occasionally shouting into the void on Twitter. That's at Dasmoosh, DASMOOSH. And you can find me on Facebook, too. You can search Nancy Petcher if you're really interested. I doubt you are, though. So Twitter would probably be the best.
And your podcast?
Oh, well, we're on hiatus at the moment. But yes, our podcast is Author Strong. I do that with my co-host, Matt. And I'm pretty sure that's just authorstrong.com. I don't think that has changed. But I mean, things were busy changing over the last I talked to my co-host, but I think that has stayed the same for now.
Double check on that and let us know next time.
I'll let you know, but that should be it.
Well, Nancy, thanks. Always a pleasure talking to you. You bring a unique perspective to the show, obviously, having not being as familiar with it and just engrossed by it as I am. So it's always fun to get somebody's, because it's new, just a fresh take on it, you know?
Yeah, and it's really fun. I really enjoy. I enjoy watching it. There's always something fun to talk about.
That much is certain. So, all right, guys, we'll be back next week talking about Skinwalker. But until then, always hold on to Smallville.